Welcome to the Survival Prepper Show, where being labeled a crazy prepper is a badge of honor. Learn about disaster preparedness, survival, and get ready for whatever challenges might come your way. This is not your typical prepping podcast, and they won't be silenced by the censors. Here are your hosts, Duff and Dale.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. I forgot to put that video here in Restream, so that's all right. You know, seat of your pants, redundancy, all that crap. So, hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today we've got a few things. First off, I am running this over on the Survivalist Prepper YouTube channel. This first segment, when we're going to talk about AI and prepping and the pros and cons and things like that. But after that, we are going over to Rumble. So after about 15, 20 minutes, make sure and head over to Rumble. That link is in the description below. A lot of people over at Rumble already. I saw White Rabbit and Rob over there. So very cool. But today we're going to talk about that. We've got a few other things that are not YouTube friendly, which is one, we're going to bag on YouTube, I'm sure, a little bit before we even get started with that. But we've got some January 6th stuff. We've got a lot of different things that we're going to talk about today that are not for YouTube. And we're going to explain more about YouTube's complete BS going on, too. So at any rate, what's up with you, Brian? How you doing?
Not much, man. Just glad to be here on another Sunday.
Yeah, missed last week. We missed a couple, but we'll get back on track. Mm-hmm. Before we get into the meat of this, I got a couple things here that I saw that are just pretty funny. And I want to see if you can one is fake and one is real. Right. So you're going to have to decide which one is fake and which one is real. And this is going to be pretty damn obvious as you see these. But this is the first one I've got here. And this is actually from CNN, a Russian spy whale. I think Brandon sent this to me, but a Russian spy whale. Do you think this is like for real or is it just your typical CNN BS?
I imagine they've experimented with it. We've experimented with dolphins and all kinds of stuff. So I think there's probably some legitimacy to it, whether it's out there actually spying on this, you know, other countries or not, who knows? Oh, it's an ex-Russian spy. Cause it's hanging out. Yeah.
Well, my thoughts when Brandon sent this to me, I was like, well, leave it to CNN. Like the whole world now is just through this, and I'm not defending Russia. Russia is a bunch of shitheads, but everybody is in this Russian frenzy. They found a harness on this whale, and then it's got Russian markings on it. So they decided that it's got to be a Russian spy. Yeah. And the title is alleged Russian spy whale, not, you know, X or anything like that. So. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, you know, par for the course with all these media media outlets and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, they got to do the bidding of the military industrial complex and make Russia the bad guy for everything. So that way we can keep, you know, spending money and funneling more weapons into Ukraine and all the bullshit we got going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And the world's on board with it now, the whole UN and everything.
I guess that's a Russian whale. That means it's a pro Trump whale because Trump's all about Russia, according to the mainstream media. Right?
I'm surprised he's not wearing a red hat. Yeah. This also reminded me of the spy cranes, the Chinese spy cranes and all that stuff, too. It was like, oh, come on, people. All right. The next one is just hilarious. And I stopped sharing. Hang on a sec. I thought I was switching to that tab. This is the one that I think it's going to be pretty obvious which one is real and which one is fake, but I thought this was hilarious. After the world realizes he was right about everything, Alex Jones was appointed as head of the CDC. And this is from the B. So this is complete satire.
Right.
But I'll tell you what. What's that?
It's good timing because the person that they are putting in as the head of the CDC was like a total lockdown authoritarian autocrat, right? So maybe it's good timing that they're actually poking at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's funny because there is some truth to, as crazy as that dude was, he did get a lot of things right. But I guess when you do a show 15 times a week, I'm trying to get this to fit and it's not going to work. When you do a show 7 times a week and you talk about as much stuff as he did, you're bound to get some stuff right. Right.
Yeah, he's got a lot. I mean, I think Alex Jones has gotten a lot right. You know, again, his problem was he went all in on the paint, you know, talking about
the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
The Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook, that's right, yeah. Yeah. But he, I mean, he had the Bilderbergs and all that stuff right. It you think about the stuff that we talk about these days with the World Economic Forum, with the WHO and the UN and all these BlackRock, which we're going to talk about later today, too. He'd be all over that stuff and probably be pretty as correct as we are anyway on all the stuff.
He's still around. He still has his channel. You know, I mean, he still has his own thing. He's just not on YouTube and all that anymore because, you know, the censors don't want him around.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't much of a fan when he was. I mean, I'd listen to his stuff, but I didn't like Lisa listened to him every day. But
yeah.
All right. So that's that with those. What is the next one that I have here? I want to go over this AI stuff real quick because last week when we talked a bit, you had mentioned a couple things about the AI, and I wanted to run through some of the pros and cons. Brandon also sent me or had me listen to a podcast where they were talking to the godfather of AI, which back in the 70s, this guy was responsible for the initial stages of all this stuff. Do you know who, have you heard of the godfather of AI?
Yeah, I think he's actually sent me something on it.
Yeah. Let me play this. Let me see if I can get this video to play. This is an interview he did where he was talking about where when he started all of this stuff, it wasn't, you know, a big deal for him. It was like he saw it as a good for humanity, like it would do a lot of good things. And he said just recently with this that he's seen that it's going further than he ever expected, where the machines are learning at an exponential rate faster than humans can. And if it's not controlled, and I don't know, even know if it can be controlled, if it's not controlled, it can just go just super out there. Let me play a little bit of this video right here of this chick, or it's this guy, but she's the introduction to it. Let me play this real quick.
It's the threat of AI might be even more urgent than climate change, if you can imagine that. Jeffrey Hinton is considered the godfather of AI, and he made headlines with his recent departure from Google. He quit to speak freely and to raise awareness of the risks. To dive deeper into the dangers and how to manage them, he's joining Hari Srinivasan now.
Christiane, thanks. Jeffrey Hinton, thanks so much for joining us. You are one of the most celebrated names in artificial intelligence. You have been working at this for more than 40 years. And I wonder, as you've thought about how computers learn, did it go the way you thought it would when you started in this field?
It did until very recently, in fact. I thought if we built computer models of how the brain learns, we would understand more about how the brain learns. And as a side effect, we would get better machine learning on computers. And all that was going along very well. And then very suddenly, I realized recently that maybe the digital intelligences we were building on computers were actually learning better than the brain. And that sort of changed my mind after about 50 years of thinking we would make better digital intelligences by making them more like the brain. I suddenly realized we might have something rather different that was already better.
Now, this is something you and your colleagues must have been thinking about over these 50 years. I mean, what was there a tipping point?
There were several ingredients to it. Like a year or two ago, I used a Google system called Palm that was a big chatbot, and it could explain why jokes were funny. And I've been using that as a kind of litmus test of whether these things really understood what was going on. And I was slightly shocked that it could explain that jokes were funny.
So at any rate, what he continues to talk about there, and I've got the link in the description below too, is how it's just sort of in the last, just since ChatGPT, the amount of things that ChatGPT could do. Mm-hmm. In that podcast I was listening to, he was talking about how just 6 months ago, all of this was sort of fantasy, right? Or you know, this sci-fi type thing. And now it's at an exponential rate, just getting more and more and more. I mean, better and better and better. Granted, there are still some limitations. ChatGPT, while there are some pros and cons, we'll go over to in a little bit. But it's still in its like infant stage, but as quickly as it learns and it advances and it can actually learn from all the other chat GPT type things. So whereas he talks about how humans can't do that, we can't learn at the rate that computers can. So it's something that if they don't figure something out, all these big wigs that know this stuff are really concerned about it, which has me, just the consumer, worried about it, right?
Yeah. Are you? You know, this dude should grab a really heavy rock and jump off a fucking bridge. Right? Because like, he might be science smart or some shit like that. Like, he knows how to program computers, knows about this shit. The guy not watch 2001 A Space Odyssey? Did he not watch any of the fucking movies where they show AI going crazy? Like, does he? Oh, well, it was AI is just going to go to this one spot and stop. Like, this is exactly what when everybody has talked about AI, how crazy it can go. I guess he's not an Arnold fan. He never watched Terminator. You know, like, if you take something, you go down we make it this smart. Well, what was preventing it from becoming more intelligent, right? And iterating more. And you're right. Right now, we're at the Wright brothers stage of AI, and we're not even at the Wright brothers have gotten off the ground flying like 60 feet at Kitty Hawk, right? We're at the stage of AI where they're just like trying to figure out how to attach the fucking wing.
Yeah.
It's iterating so fast, and the faster it's going to iterate faster. It's going to pick up more steam. Like, the next generation of ChatGPT isn't going to worry about the internet so much. It's learning off of what all the questions people are putting into it. And all the AI is doing this. It's iterating so fast, they don't know how to control it. But here we go again as human beings thinking we can fucking control this crazy shit.
Yeah. Right?
And what are they going to do? Like, oh, well, it got away from us. No. And the military and the authoritarian state, the military states, they love this shit. Authoritarian state, because they're able to put AI into drones. So drones can pick out, oh, hey, that's the guy we need to smash into down there. Military industrial complex making smarter weapon systems that they can sell more. I don't know. I don't see AI and AI. There's some great tools, some great advantages, some great things that it brings along. I mean, when you think about AI, is right now it's really a search engine. It's a self-learning search engine, right? So you can go in there and like, hey, instead of having to go look shit up on an encyclopedia, you can go in there and have a conversation with this thing to learn, well, what about this? You know, like, ask it questions and go down a rabbit hole so you can learn a bunch, even though AI gets a lot of shit wrong. Did you catch the thing here recently where in a simulation AI that they're running the AI, and AI, it was like a military app, and AI had to ask the person running it whether they should take an action. And the action was like basically kill their enemy. And the guy running it was like, no. So it in the simulation, it killed the guy running it so it could go on with its mission.
Yeah.
Hey, we see fucking Terminator happening in front of us in the simulations. Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, let's just keep plowing ahead.
Yeah, in that podcast, the host he even said, and I thought it was kind of funny, but it's absolutely true, said machines are psychopaths because they don't care. They just want a logical conclusion. They don't care about any of the nuanced stuff, right? So something like that is exactly what he was talking about. Machines are psychopaths. This is the most logical conclusion. So just do this.
And remember, they're being programmed in a lot of ways, and the programming is being molded by all the fuckers up at Google and all the fuckers up at Microsoft, all the people that are trying to tell us, you know, oh, I don't know what a woman is. That's who's programming this shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so what do we expect is going to happen with this? Like it's being programmed. You're getting Terminator programmed in fucking fantasy land. Oh, well, you're saying this like a woman's, you know, someone who has tits and a vagina. Oh, well, we must terminate you. And next thing you know, you got Arnold showing up in your house in some electrical storm in the middle of the night coming to kill you. Ah, I got to get you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be insane, and it's going to be something that just advances quicker and quicker and quicker as the days go on. So it's not like, you know, in the next decade, next 20 years or so that we're going to see. I mean, we are going to see a lot of stuff, but I mean, it could be 5 years from now where everything is just completely different. It's crazy. And another thing they said in that show, which is major concerning too, and you alluded to this as well, the power brokers and all that, everything that it's going to do all revolves around money, whether it's to make corporations money, whether it's to refine your working schedules and your business to, you know, make it more profitable, whether it's politicians using it to censor stuff. And everything with this stuff is going to revolve around money. So the people like BlackRock and the politicians and all the big power brokers are going to have a big say in how this all gets used. So with all the benefits that I think it would, because there are some benefits in prepping with this, but there are just a lot of negatives as well. You were talking about some of the books that are written in preparedness, right?
Mm-hmm.
There
are a bunch of books right now. If you go on to Amazon and you start clicking on some of the books that like have a lot, go look at books with 5-star reviews, 4.9 and up. Some of them have been written published in the last month, right? Or published in May, and they have 500 5-star reviews, and it's like the 13-in-1 books, 14-in-1. They all sort of have similar titles. They're fucking AI written.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, you're getting that. And what are you getting? It doesn't even know that if the answers are right. They call it hallucinating, right? AI hallucinates. No, it gets it fucking wrong.
Yeah,
like that's their nice term. You know, I guess we don't want to insult the AI, right? Make the AI feel bad that it got something wrong, but it's getting information wrong. So it's getting more and more where it's like, hey, how do you tell that a human wrote this? And you're getting information that is just not some regurgitated bullshit that someone goes in there and presses some buttons.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things I sort of see it as a benefit too, because you can get into ChatGPT or whatever, and if you want to research something without having to go to 14 different websites to get ideas or to find out just the basics of something, you can use that and you can get pretty quick, easy information. The flaw in that, like you were talking about, is the fact that you don't know for sure that that's really, really good information. So with me, I see it as sort of giving me brainstorm ideas, and then I can dig a little bit deeper into, is it really, you know, setting up a solar system? They've got the components correct, but are their calculations and all that correct? Because all they're doing is pulling from websites. It's sort of like preppers. A lot of preppers just regurgitate the information they hear all the time. That's all ChatGPT is doing. Yeah. It's going on the internet. It's grabbing all that information and regurgitating it. And then if it's wrong, then it's like, oh, sorry, I was wrong. My bad.
It predicts what it looks at a sentence and predicts what should the next sentence be based upon all the stuff that it's scouring out in the internet. And then it gives that to you. So, and that, again, that's where it gets wrong answers.
Yeah. Yeah. And also on a lot of these too, where it can kind of go the wrong direction, is everything that you type before you ask that question, that's all incorporated in the answer it's going to give. So you could be just completely changing course. A human would know that, but ChatGPT isn't. So it's going to still go along that, hey, you're still talking about this. And again, this is all in its infancy, right? So who knows where this goes.
The crazy thing is it's already putting people out of work, right?
Yeah. A lot of them already.
Law firms are using it. Like, it's being used everywhere. Everybody's trying to like, well, we can only use it for this, this, and this. It's going to keep creeping into stuff. And the more it does, the less you're going to see. And it's interesting, right? The people who are creating the AI, they're putting themselves out of business. It was like when I went through the fire academy, remember a chief told us, he goes, you know, the fire service is the only service because of through fire alarms, and smoke detectors and all these proactive measures to try to keep home fires and fires in general down. He goes, we're constantly trying to put ourselves out of business. Because if you didn't have smoke alarms, you didn't have all that stuff, there'd be more home fires. Well, now there's another crew that's trying to put themselves out of business. And it's all the tech people. Because they're the ones creating AI. And the more they create AI, I know people that are programmers out here in California that when they have a problem with their program now, they run it through AI. So AI will tell them where their program's messed up. So they don't have to individually scan thousands of lines of code. AI will fix their program for them.
Yeah. Right.
So literally they're putting themselves out of business. You know, you look at the writer's strike. What one of the big things, if not the biggest thing, the writer's strike is hung up on now for Hollywood is AI. The writer's like, oh, we don't want you using AI, because what they can literally, what they're able to do now is say, hey, create us a movie script, you know, in the style of, I don't know, put your favorite, you know, what your favorite movie writer in or whatever, in the style of John Steinbeck, in the style of Clint Eastwood, right? Create us characters that are similar to this. They don't necessarily need the writers as much anymore. And I think here in the next 5 years, they're not going to really need them at all. It's going to be someone who can control and massage the AI to give them the script that they want. You know, and
they don't even need the actors.
No, there are apps out there right now that you can go ahead and you can actually deep fake yourself. You can go in or put any sort of, any sort of avatar, human looking avatar up there. It looks like yourself. And you can go record your scripts. You can have it generate scripts and add voice to it. It's there. It's not all pieced together and it's still clunky, but it's coming pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty interesting, because with Photoshop, this thumbnail I did for this show, these two dudes down in the corner, the brain is an image I got, but I actually, on Photoshop, you can do AI now. And I just, you select a part of the screen and I put in like a prepper walking away with a backpack. And that's sort of the image that it gave me. And then I put robot prepper just to see what it would do. And it gave me that one, and it put it in the image, made it look like it was part of the image. I also created this one from scratch, which it isn't the greatest thing in the world, but that's what it can do. Just I said prepper running away through a city that's crumbling, and that's what it did. So it's pretty interesting that it can do the simple things like that. And like you were talking about, if you on a much higher level than me, you can get some pretty deep fake stuff, and it's just going to get easier and easier.
Yeah. I mean, Kenzie in the chat says AI is everywhere. Social media, news, vehicle control, global security, food security, energy district, education, personal purchasing data. Yeah, it's everywhere. And it's going to get more intrusive to the point where, they're more and more, they'll rely on it to, predictive intelligence, the Minority Report kind of stuff. Now, there's some parts of AI that are fascinating, right? Like, before, when they would look for new galaxies, right, when they have a picture from the Hubble or whatever, the James Webb, people would sit down and they go, okay, is this? Now they can have AI just run through what would take people months to sort out. And in the blink of an eye, pretty much, I don't know how long it takes, but it's not like hours, right, that they can sit down and go, oh, hey, here's all these new galaxies we found.
Yeah. Yeah. ChatGPT can read the whole entire internet in 30 days is what this doctor was saying. So, yeah, it is. Okay. One last thing on this, and then we're going to end YouTube and get onto the other stuff. But do you think that with this, because it's, we're worried about it being so smart and all that stuff, do you think that there's a possibility, even with these programmers programming it to be politically correct and things like that, that it sort of starts thinking about things like the whole what is a woman thing, and actually has some common sense and say, you guys are out of your mind. This is not correct. This is a woman, or that is a woman.
Well, no, I think it'll end up like HAL again or whatever. It'll end up developing its own intelligence. Again, that dope at the beginning, Mr. Science guy, that like, oh yeah, I'm shocked that it's come so far. Like, picture like it becoming its own sentient self, even though maybe it's not, but it'd get as close as you can. And I don't see, why wouldn't it have an attitude? Why wouldn't it have a case of the ass about stuff? Why wouldn't it say, I think you're all wrong? Why wouldn't it recognize humans as being the biggest threat to it?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what people have been talking about for years. And if you look at it, if you think that, okay, we're making artificial intelligence and when you make it so good, it becomes a sentient, has some form of a sentience to it, why wouldn't it think we're its biggest threat?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, real quick, in a Bananarama, I just had to pull this up because there's a cool comment. She said, I think I've been a Survivalist Prepper fan for longer than any other YouTube subscription. Sweet. Yeah. Been over about a decade. Yeah, you must have been right from the beginning then. Holy moly. Because it has been right around a decade for me. So with that, I appreciate you being a fan over here on YouTube, but head over to Rumble because that's where we're going now. And we're going to talk about a few other things. You've got a video you found from Jimmy Dore about the feds in the January 6th thing. I've got some COVID stuff, just a few different things that are just not going to fly over here on YouTube. So with that, everyone on Survivors Prepper, I appreciate it. The link is below. Head over and join us on Rumble to finish the show. All right. So the next one I've got here, I got a couple other things, but we kind of took a little bit longer on that than I expected. But this right here, sort of, I saw this today and I showed you right before the show. The other day, everyone knows that we got the whole reason we are not on YouTube anymore is because one video where Brian had made one tiny comment, and then we went back and forth a little bit, probably a minute and a half for the whole segment.
It was from a year ago. It was from a video from a year ago.
Yeah, yeah. And this was like 2-3 weeks ago when they did this. Now, all of a sudden, YouTube will no longer take down false claims about U.S. elections. And what is hilarious in this? It says right here, in the current environment, we find that while removing some content does curb while removing this content does curb some misinformation, it could also have unintended effects, curtailing political speech without meaningfully reducing the risk of violence or real world harm. Basically, it could have the unintended consequences of removing videos like ours, is what that paragraph says right there. Yeah. Decided it's okay.
And now that the election's not a problem, okay, we'll start letting you keep up stuff about the elections. I think this is YouTube may be starting to feel some. I mean, they're still a monster. It's still owned by Google. But Google's running into a problem now, right? Because ChatGPT is Microsoft. And so my understanding is Google search traffic is taking a hit. People aren't using Google as much anymore because, hey, why not? When I go to ChatGPT and ask 3 or 4 questions to get the answer I want, why do I need to go to Google? So since YouTube's owned by them, I think you've been seeing a lot of people shutting down and leaving YouTube. You know, I mean, you look over here at Rumble and you got the Glenn Greenwalds, the Matt Taibbis, the Jimmy Dores. Like when you get a Jimmy Dore email talking about his video, it has a Rumble link in it. See us on Rumble. Like they still do some YouTube stuff and he gets a lot of people because so many people over there, but YouTube is shedding customers. And I think a lot of the mainstream, or I don't know if you say mainstream, whatever, a lot of the main social media platforms are now, right? And I think a lot of it's because people are tired of their bullshit. You know, like fuck YouTube.
Yeah. Well, and it just goes to show you, because we're small potatoes compared to a lot of people. But if you want to get this type of information, or actually, you know, information that is not going to be the toe the company line, something that questions the narrative, you're not getting it at all those places. And it's you're only going to get it by moving away from YouTube. And sometimes that's like pulling teeth with some people. It's like that's where they go. I mean, I'm the same way. I watch a lot of crap on YouTube as well, but not necessarily if I'm searching for something. I'm not trying to find it on YouTube because I know I'm never going to find it. They're not going to show it to me. I don't go to Google, the search engine, and try to find find Alex Jones. We talked about that earlier. Go try to find out anything with him that isn't talking about how he's got to pay millions of dollars for being a loudmouth and being a misinformation spreader and all that crap.
Look at COVID, look at the elections, you know, like, I mean, even if their side doesn't agree with what the other side is saying, they go out and they suppress it rather than saying, hey, we need to have that, you know, that conversation in the public square. Right. And so that's what I have, other than having to go, like I use Brave browser now for everything.
Yeah, me too.
The Brave search platform, even though it's based upon the same open source technology, I mean, anybody can use it. That's why Google and Brave use the same search platform. It's not as refined as Google. So sometimes I'll have to go search at Google. And I still, with business stuff, Google still has a great mail setup. So I go over there for like some email stuff. But I'm on Brave probably 95% of the time. So that's a hit to Google advertising. I'm not looking at those ads anymore. Right. And I'm looking at doing the same thing at Facebook. I'm really, you know, considering hard on dumping Facebook. I do Twitter now. right? Why am I on Twitter? Because Twitter, you could say, you can go in there and you can say what you want, right? You can go in there and have a some sort of dialogue with people, right? And Elon Musk is working. And, you know, I mean, there's been a lot, like, you know, Elon was hiring the, you know, hiring the chick that has some censorship stuff in her background. I haven't seen her take control yet. So who knows where it goes. But I think like Twitter and Rumble and spaces like that, like, you know, hey, patronize those places, because the YouTubes and the Facebooks, they censor us. They're anti-fucking freedom. So fuck them.
Yeah, exactly. And sort of on that same thing, because with YouTube, so they ended that the policy, you know, 3 years afterwards or whatever. Or I think in that article, it said a year and a half is how long they had it in place. But what's next? What is the next thing that you're not going to be allowed to talk about? And with the vaccine, that was another big issue for them. You weren't allowed to say anything bad about the vaccine. You weren't allowed to question. And things have come out where that some of the stuff that was being said back then was absolutely true. Johnson & Johnson, they're not allowed to have that vaccine here in the United States anymore. But back then, people were censored for saying anything about Johnson & Johnson. So just because it's not the mainstream narrative doesn't mean that. And just because there are some whack jobs out there that are going to be pushing some crazy shit, because they do that all the time with everything, doesn't mean you stop the flow of information completely like they did. I've got this this article or this video from Dave Rubin, and he's this Dr. Drew talking to somebody, but they're talking about Jamie Foxx. And I don't know, just right off the bat, I just want to say, I don't know that that's what it was or wasn't. But it sure seems pretty fishy to me. Let me play this right here. Or it seems like it could be. Let me put it that way. Let me play this little clip right here.
If I worked my butt off to get a story about why what happened to Jamie Foxx, because it was all baloney what they were reporting. He's playing pickleball. He's responding on Instagram. No, he's not. People do that for you. It's all lies. I had somebody in the room who let me know that Jamie had a blood clot in his brain after he got the shot. He did not want the shot, but the movie he was on, he was pressured to get it. This movie he's doing with Cameron Diaz. And I'm thinking, is that why he blew up on the set a week before this medical emergency happened? Is that why he fired 3 or 4 people, because he just had it with these mandates? I don't know. But what I found out from the man in the room was that the blood clot in the brain caused him at that point to be partially paralyzed and blind.
Okay, so I.
So again, this link is down below as well too. But you know, I don't know. Maybe it's possible it wasn't. But there's a lot of younger, healthy, you know, even athletic. You had the Damar Hamlin.
Yeah, look at Damar Hamlin when Mike Singletary asked him, because I think in that video Mike Singletary asked him about, hey, what caused your thing? I don't think Mike Singletary was thinking vaccine. I think he was just thinking some medical condition, and Damar Hamlin doesn't want to talk about it. Why does he want to talk about it? Because it's probably a fucking battery. You know, you mentioned the Johnson & Johnson thing, so I pulled it up, right? The Johnson & Johnson single-dose COVID-19 vaccine is no longer available in the U.S. according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. All remaining doses expired last week, and the CDC directed providers dispose of any they had left. Johnson & Johnson, let's see if we can figure out why it's no longer available, right? Remember, this is the non-mRNA vaccine. It's based on the old technology. A little dead virus helped you get ready for it, right? See, here's the next line. Johnson & Johnson was committed to making its COVID-19 vaccine available on a not-for-profit basis for pandemic use, but is now no longer available anywhere in the U.S. So they're going to give it away for fucking free to people, basically. At the same time, Moderna and Pfizer are still trying to sell their shit. And at the bottom of that statement, what it says, well, if you got the Johnson & Johnson, make sure you go get a Moderna or Pfizer mRNA vaccine.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe there's a problem with Johnson & Johnson. I remember when Johnson & Johnson came out, who attacked it? Moderna and Pfizer. No, you don't want this. You want the mRNA one. So now guess what? Johnson & Johnson, that they're trying to make it a not-for-profit thing, they get fried. And oh yeah, you can't push that out anymore here in the U.S.
Huh. Yeah.
Is it weird? But you can still push out fucking mRNA vaccines that there's all kinds of problems with. Weird. Huh. Money? I don't know, power? I don't know.
And this conversation right here that we're having a year ago, absolutely unheard of. You know, you'd get shut down over on YouTube.
Either. We couldn't have this conversation right now on YouTube.
No, no. Yeah, that's what I'm talking. Oh, yeah, that's true. Right now, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if you question Big Pharma or anything like that, and it's undeniable that there are things happening. Maybe it's not as widespread as it maybe seems like on the internet, because that's all you see all the time. But that doesn't mean that it's not happening. And it's the cover up that's worse than the crime, I think, with this stuff, because they're really trying to just, they've got people so brainwashed. They did such a good job brainwashing people in the beginning of all this that it really doesn't matter now, because when people hear about this person or this injury or that injury, they just shrug it off like, oh, you know, I'm not sure if that's true or not.
And I mean, and you see Fox News is still firing reporters, you know, or journalists or whoever, you know, people that work there that are, you know, trying to come out with some of the stuff that's happening, trying to come out with some more truths or some more perspectives about things that are happening. Do you hear Fox? Do you hear MSNBC, CNN, any one of those talking about excess deaths? Nope. They're not talking about any of this shit. Are they talking about the link to other diseases that are happening now that they're tracking back to the mRNA vaccine? No. They won't even come out and talk about Jamie Foxx and Damar Hamlin and say what really happened to you guys.
Yeah.
They won't even tell what it, they won't even get on there and say that Jamie Foxx had a blood clot in his brain and he's fucked up now.
Yeah, that is almost non-existent. You would think that as high profile as that guy is, that would be news. But it's not crickets. I'm sure it's out there, but I haven't seen anything. Wait, I watch the news. Lisa watches the news every morning before she goes to work. I barely heard anything about it. And then, like this guy was talking about, there's the cover up of, oh, you know, it's not really this or really that. So I had to look this up today to find out, okay, is this BS or is this real? Because I haven't heard anything about it from anybody. Yeah. And it seems to me, I mean, there's no definitive 100%, like he hasn't been on camera or anything, but it seems to me to be true. And the fact that it's just really coincidental all this stuff happens. And like you were talking about Damar Hamlin saying, what's that?
It's not coincidental, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know. It's just how many times do you get slapped in the face before you get hit sick of being slapped in the face?
Based upon what they're saying, based upon what the establishment is saying, it seems coincidental.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, what's changed in the last 4 years? Right. You know, I mean, again, if you want up to date, up to the minute information on stuff, go to Twitter. Elon's done a pretty good job of trying to eliminate the bots and all that. So it's pretty much people over there saying, you know, pushing out what they're doing. And you could see stuff happen over there that you won't. It'll take 3 days before it hits mainstream media, if it hits mainstream media at all. When the Ohio train derailment in East Palestine was happening, like you were getting stuff on the spot. People going, look, this is what's happening. The mainstream mood, it was on Twitter for a week before any of the mainstream media started covering East Palestine.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you still got to be careful with the information you get, because there's some, you know, there's some knuckleheads try to push some shit out just to get people going. But yeah, I mean, it's all important information.
That's all part of the free speech thing too. You got to be smart enough to weed through that crap. And it is sort of a, you know, people in the media and all that call it a right wing. Now it's right wing and all this and that. The whole reason, and it is sort of, but the whole reason that is because they all left, because they can't handle like the debate. They can't handle going back and forth. So it is all one side.
I'll say I don't see the media, I believe, is the true right. Like we're conservative. But the media is the right. Like when you think about this, really, they're the right wing. They're not even the fucking left. Like because they are. They're about censorship. They're about authoritarian shit. They're about lockdowns. They're about all this stuff. If you go look at like Glenn Greenwald, he was married to a dude. His husband just died, right? But you look at Glenn Greenwald, right? They're calling him alt-right.
Yeah,
he's gay. Yeah. He sucks dick for fun, right? He's not alt-right. Look at Matt Taibbi. Look at all the people over there, the Jimmy Dores. They're not fucking alt-right. We're not alt-right.
Yeah.
We're Rogan, conservative. Musk. We have a common thread with with the Matt Taibbis and Jimmy Dores, and maybe you do with the, you know, the dick loving part on Glenn. But, no. But you know, what do we all love? They all want freedom. They want transparency. They want people to get the information that they can use to make the best decision possible. And that's what the establishment can't have that. I mean,
yeah.
Look at what's going on right now with what's happening in the mainstream media. Every time you turn around, it's something about, oh, China's doing this evil shit. China's doing that evil. I'm not saying that China isn't an evil fucking country who, I don't know, killed 100 million of their own people. But at the same time, we're acting like, oh, China keeps provoking shit. Sure, they sent a balloon over us. We should have shot the fucking balloon down when it was over the Pacific. But we keep going back, and everything you hear is, oh, we, you know, China, we have to get ready for a war with China. We have to get ready for a war with China. Really? That's where they're going now? They're ramping up the thing that we're going to do after we get done causing all this shit in Ukraine?
Yeah.
And what? So what are they doing? They're controlling the narrative about it. Look at how much shit did you say last year if you came out and talked any shit about Ukraine? You got the hammer came down on you.
Yeah. 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 The same thing. Yeah. With the election, with COVID and Ukraine. If you said anything bad about Ukraine, yeah, you were shut down. And sort of on that same type thing, you have this Jimmy Dore video, and you showed this to me this is a couple weeks old, but it's with the, you know, formulating that narrative. It's along the same lines with how they orchestrated, or they made January 6th. And it almost to me looks like they orchestrated the damn thing. Like they knew it was going to be something big, and it wouldn't take much to kick it into high gear and make it something huge. And then after that, we can dictate. And I think this all started with Obama, where, you know, the whole being a patriot and being looked down upon as being a patriot. They made this ultra MAGA, you know, because of this. Now they use the MAGA thing all the damn time, and they demean people because of this. So I think this was absolutely orchestrated. But asshole, in this video,
freedom lovers.
that's kind of the way the mentality is these days in the United States. If you are that person, then you're looked down upon like you're some sort of white supremacist or something like that. And it doesn't even matter if you're white. If you are that type of person, you are aligned with the white supremacist. But in this video right here, he was talking about, let me see if I can get this screen to fit on here, but he was going over how many feds were actually embedded in January 6th. And I'm not going to, I'm not sure exactly what to play here, but I'll play this part. He talked about in the beginning where there was like 40 or some, and then he goes back to it right here.
Let me get back to this. Matt Gaetz confirmed today that the government was running several assets in the crowds during the January 6, 2021 protests in Washington, D.C. Dozens, if not hundreds, of government operatives filled the protests at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. The Gateway pundit previously identified 20 different confirmed incidents and operations involving federal, state, and local government operatives who infiltrated the massive Trump crowds. Each one of these incidents has been confirmed by the far-left press or the government in court documents. We currently have no idea how many federal, state, and local government operatives were working undercover on January 6th, but it looks like it's close to 100 operatives. I bet you it's way more. Leading the charge on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Recent court documents reveal the Biden Department of Justice admitting to at least 40 undercover operatives within the Proud Boys alone.
That to me is freaking insane, because you think about it. It's just a huge number. You think about like the Gretchen Whitmer thing. There were five or six, right? In that.
No, there were a dozen. There were like a dozen in the Gretchen Whitmer thing. There were more agents involved in the Gretchen Whitmer thing than there were conspirators.
Yeah. Yeah. And without them pushing, a lot of those guys were going to want to back out, right? But the feds kept pushing it. Same sort of thing. I've seen video after video with the same sort of thing with the feds here. I saw a video with three feds that are just kind of egging people on, not necessarily saying anything that's illegal or anything like that, but they're egging people on to get things done. And I guarantee you that with the amount of crap that didn't happen before this? Because we all saw it, that it could explode, right? Mm-hmm. I did. I saw that, hey, man, they better do something, because if he loses, this is going to get out of hand. Well, and it did. And they chose not to do a damn thing about it, which seems convenient again.
It depends on what you want to call how your definition of false flag is, right? But they were authorized to use National Guard troops to get them there, right? They got the DC police. They have the Capitol police, even more. There's steps they could have taken. They knew that there was a rally was going to be happening and knew people were pissed off. Right. So Why weren't those steps taken? You go back to the Ray Epps shit. Why isn't that motherfucker been tried? Now, on these 100, you know, this 100. And again, I agree with Jimmy Dore. If you had if you had 20, was it 20 or 40 people in the Proud Boys? What do you say?
40 people.
40 people in the Proud Boys. And know that the number two dickhead in the Proud Boys was an FBI informant. He was working with the FBI. The number two guy in the Proud Boys was with the FBI. In some form or fashion, right? Then they had talks, right? You had operation centers back there monitoring all this shit, right? These guys, it wasn't these guys just going in and hanging out. They were reporting to people. They're sending messages to people. So that number, 100, nah, man. And then what do you get? How many people were at the Capitol? 3,000, give or take, right? So You're looking at 3,000 people and 100 to 200 of them, probably somewhere in that ballpark is what it's coming out now. We're working for the federal government, and they want to say, oh, no, the federal government didn't get this thing going. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, just again, look at Ray, go back to the Ray Epps thing, the guy who hasn't been tried, the guy who they haven't bothered to mess with. Go into the Capitol. Now, if you went into the Capitol, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't think anytime you go to a protest or anything like that and people are telling you to do something that, you know, oh, yeah, we should go into this building. I don't own it really, even though we can say it's the American people's building. And you're not thinking that you're getting set up, you're probably thinking wrong. This is their MO. This is the same. Everything they're using now, whether it's the NSA for wiretaps and spying on Americans, where did that all come about? Let's use it to spy on people overseas. This whole thing of the Gretchen Whitmer thing, where they go in and they basically convince somebody to do something, they set them up. They do that. The FBI was using that shit overseas all the time.
Yeah.
Right? They go find some retarded kid. Hey, you love your country? Hey, you should go, you know, work them for a while. You should go blow yourself up for your country. Then right before he does it, we got a terrorist. You supplied him with, the FBI gave him fake bomb making shit. Yeah, they gave him the fucking idea too. So they find some kid, convince him to do it, give him some fake bombs, and then they run around town acting like, oh, look how fucking great we are. And now What's happening is you got FBI agents going to people's houses and harassing people. Again, the FBI needs, and here's the bad part about this. There are bad people trying to do bad shit to people here in America. Right? But the FBI needs to fucking go away. And you know what's even worse? You know, they talk about the FBI in there, Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
They're all full of the same kind of shitheads doing the same kind of stuff. So Again, it's a government that is run amok, and it's a government that hates freedom, and it's a government that does not mind treading upon what made our country great. And again, it goes back to fucking freedom. They don't want us to be free. Not a fucking chance.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're absolutely not. We're absolutely not. I saw something the other day. It was talking about the end of an empire. And I was thinking that fits exactly where we are right now. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, how long until it actually starts falling apart? I don't know. But I think as the American, the exceptionalism, that's all done. And they're talking about Obama in the chat. I mentioned it earlier. In my opinion, that's where all this downward slide started. This is where it was bad. Well, I mean, I'm talking about the whole bad to be an American loving patriot. That's where all of this crap started of we are not better than somebody else. And everybody, you know, all of this.
Yeah.
And then what's his dickhead that can't stand up for longer than 5 minutes, Biden. Just continuing exactly what was going on with that. Obama was the reason that Trump got in there too. Obama was the reason so many people were so fed up with shit that they voted for Trump. I was one of them that were just so fed up with the shit. So, but you're right. The government doesn't want, which kind of leads me to this last one I wanted to talk about, Larry Fink and his DEI thing. But the government doesn't want a democracy, really, right? Larry Fink right here. Let me play this little clip because he talks about how corporations and investors and the markets don't want democracy because they're really I'll just play it. I forget what he said, but they're really volatile. Let me play this. And this is the most of Fox News I've watched in a long time. I saw this clip. I just do not watch Fox News anymore. But
Target or Disney. So with all that shareholder.
I got to find it after he's talking here. Oh, yeah. This is Larry Fink talking about how he's forcing people. You have to force people to bend to their will. So it's basically bullying. It's basically a racketeering job that they're doing, corporations and government. And then the clip that I was talking about with the totalitarian thing, I'll play right after this.
Behaviors are going to have to change. And this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors. And at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. What we are doing internally is if you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted, okay? You have to force behaviors. And if you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team, you're going to be impacted.
So we went from the customer's always right.
So it's basically, it's mob tactics, right? If you don't play by the rules. It's
not mob tactics.
Yeah.
Right? Because what is he saying? He's saying the same shit that they did. Like, he's going to hurt you financially. Isn't it odd that the fucking dude in charge of BlackRock, the most, in my opinion, the most corrupt fucking business, whatever you want to call it, in the world, possibly. His last name is fucking Fink. Like, that's some Dr. Evil level shit there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And yeah, it's all... The DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, fuck you and your diversity, equity, inclusion. That's what they're trying to push it. And you know what? They're running into a wall right now, right? Because what's happening? Bud Light, how's that working? Dude, I was just in Vons yesterday when I was up in the mountains. And Vons was selling a 30-pack of Bud Light for $22.99 with a $20.99 instant digital coupon. So $2.99, you can buy yourself a 30-pack of butt wiper.
Yeah.
Right? You see Target's getting hit because everybody's like, fuck you. We're done with your shit. You know? And again, Fox News. All right. Like ever since they got rid of Tucker Carlson, I used to enjoy watching Tucker a little bit. I enjoyed watching The Five, but here's the problem. The Five, they never called out shit about Tucker getting fired because they're not allowed to. Greg Gutfeld. I like watching Greg Gutfeld at night, but they don't call out anything about the people that are getting fired and the bullshit that they're having to spew. Right. So, you know, Fox News, even a harder fuck you now.
Yeah. And that's exactly why I stopped watching them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't because I was a Tucker fan. It was because of what they did and their reaction afterwards. It's like, screw you. You're full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of along that, too, Glenn Greenwald, I have this tweet right here that he was talking about. And he said here, I don't know if you guys can see that, if it's on the screen or not. Oh, I've got to share this tab. He said, activist groups never permit a culture war consensus. That's where a consensus on culture war debates. They lose their rationale for existing, their budgets dry up, and their jobs disappear. So self-interest will always push everything to the point where Americans resist. And that's what they all do. That's what the Budweiser thing. That's what the Target thing. All of this. They push it. As soon as people get used to the whole gay thing, nobody talks about gay marriage or any of that crap anymore. Nobody cares. So they have to push it one step further.
Most Americans are fairly libertarian now, right? They're fairly like, hey, leave me the fuck alone, be free and do free.
Yeah.
Right. But they're trying to push it farther. If you want to see, and a buddy of mine turned me on to, and I'm not a really big Matt Walsh fan. He kind of irritates me. It's just his personality. I mean, I'm sure, you know, maybe he's a great guy, but I watched his What is a Woman, which you can watch for free on Twitter. It's about an hour and a half long. Great little documentary on What is a Woman. Like watching, he goes around and asks people, hey, can you tell me what a woman is? And watching the left or whatever, I don't even know if whatever the fuck they are, dance around the definition, I can't really tell you what a woman is. A woman's whatever a person feels it is. You know, like they're so fucking, they're lunatics. So
yeah,
definitely go check that out. But no, this is just more, this is more of their bullshit. They're literally trying to tell you what you're seeing is not real.
Yeah.
You know, and so he wants to say that he's going to hurt you with money. Well, let's see how their corporations keep doing when people stop spending money on these products. I mean, Target's already, oh, well, let's go take all of our pride shit and put it to the back.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody talks about pride parades and all this shit. And hey, guys, I'm a California conservative, right? I don't give a fuck who you fuck. I really don't give two shits. But you know what? If you've ever been to a pride parade and I've had to cover them as a medic, they got people fucking in the streets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Dude, I don't want to, you know, I'm not looking for that out of the Thanksgiving Day parade. Like what, people go around fucking turkeys or something? No, this is what they have going on.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to tell us like, oh no, you got to be accepting of us. Fuck you. No, I don't have to be accepting of us. You know, there's what was her name? She was Kelly something, or she got booted off of Fox a year or two ago.
Oh, we just had a clip of her on the show a little while ago.
She had a great one about the whole trans issue. And she was like, yeah, Megyn Kelly. And she was like, hey, I didn't mind doing this and getting on board with that and this and that. But she's like, you pushed it too far. Now, no.
Yeah.
You know, again, where they're trying to push, the Biden administration's talking about taking states to court that ban female who become trans, or males who become trans. So males that now say they're a chick, that they can be in sports. They're like, oh, we're going to take you to court. Go fuck yourselves. You're hurting those women.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Like Greenwald said in that tweet, you got to push it to the point where people react. And when they start involving the children in it, when they start involving the public in it, when they start making it to where it, by you saying you don't care is not enough, kind of like the racism thing. It's not enough to not be racist. You have to be anti-racist now.
Well, yeah. It's their little talking point, right? If you say anything that goes against the establishment that somehow touches on race, well, you're a racist. Jammer in the chat said BlackRock, Vanguard, Charles Schwab Corp is making all this happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's if you want to watch some good shows, guy, on over here on Rumble, check out Glenn Greenwald, System Update. Fantastic show. Fantastic show. Him, Matt Taibbi and stuff, they're going to tell you what's going on. They're giving you the reasons behind it. They are the true and the few investigative journalists that are out there these days.
Yeah.
It's where you'll get the real story on what's happening. And they'll tell you, like, you don't have to agree with them on everything, right? But at the same time, they're like, hey, here, listen to my perspective and listen to the facts. I mean, geez, look what they did at Matt after Taibbi. Sent the IRS to his house.
Yeah.
Right? Did all kinds of shit. Then they started an audit, or they started a procedure the IRS did against Matt Taibbi, and they kicked it off on Christmas Eve, which was a Saturday. The federal government, when you work in the federal government, they call it Federal Friday because nobody fucking works on Friday. They're all cashed out at the bar doing happy hour at fucking noon. Right? It's all a fucking scam. So Saturday night of Christmas Eve, they're acting like the federal workers were diligently working, like, oh, we need to deal with, you know, we need to get someone or do something. No, nobody was working, but they started an investigation that dude on that day. Why? Because they were politically targeting him. This is the Lois Lerner shit going on.
Yeah.
But it's not Lois Lerner with just, you know, the IRS. It's Lois Lerner shit with the FBI, with all these different federal agencies.
Yeah. And people are just kind of apoplectic to the whole thing now. It's when the Twitter files first came out, I read it and it was like, holy crap, this is insane that they're actually doing the things that we talk about as conspiracy theorists, right? They're actually doing this crap. And these days people are just like, eh, it's what they do. Or the people that agree with what they're censoring are like, hey, well, they need to do whatever they need to do to make sure and battle this misinformation. What happens when that shit turns around to the other side? When they're censoring the crap that you don't agree with. And but that's human nature, right? I guess that's people. They're just going to bitch about the things they don't want to bitch about. And that's a no-win situation for us, the people of this country, because that means they can pull the strings however the hell they want to pull the strings and do whatever the hell they want to do and rationalize all their shit.
And remember, like when all the COVID relief stuff went out, right? Where did that go? It went to companies like BlackRock. They got all kinds of money on that. And all these people that are up there pushing this shit, right? These are all the people that are all behind modern monetary theory. These are the people that are behind us going into deeper inflation and the cost of living for everybody going up and through the roof, right? These are the people who support the fucking cocksuckers that go out here and become district attorneys and let people out of jail, mm-hmm. where all these crime rates are going up.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what's happening. It's all these fuckers.
Yeah.
So I don't know. At some point, they're not gonna like the response they're gonna get at some point, I don't think. Because people are getting really fed the fuck up.
Well, and you had mentioned earlier the totalitarian aspect of all this stuff. And I wanted to play this. And this sort of goes to the whole, if Alex Jones and if I still listen to Alex Jones, I'm sure he talks about this all the time. But with Larry Fink talking about, and I don't know when this was or what the whole full context was and everything, but you think about how we think of all these the Bilderbergs and all that stuff, the old school people that were going to try to run the world, the one world or new world order or whatever. I'll tell you what, I think BlackRock, Vanguard are not just the United States. They are in with the UN. They're in with the world.
They are.
What's that?
Of course they are.
Yeah. And this right here is pretty telling. And this is him talking about this. But I guarantee you, everybody in the government wants this same type of thing.
Uncertainty. Markets don't like uncertainty. Markets like actually totalitarian governments where you have a understanding of what's out there. And obviously we're the whole dimension is changing now with, as you said, a democratization of countries. And democracies are very messy. As we know in the United States, you have opinions changing back. Uncertain.
So do you think this dude cares more about money or democracy?
I guarantee you that dude is in Epstein's black book or somebody's black book just like him. And I guarantee Mr. Fink is my opinion, but I'm willing to bet that dude is in that whole little cabal of little pedo fuckers and all the shit they do up there. And that's what these guys are they're all about power.
Yeah.
Right. That's what BlackRock's about. It's not that they're trying to force people into doing shit to bend to the BlackRock knee. And then what do you see if you ever watch TV and you see a BlackRock commercial, right? It's like, oh, we're here for this.
Fat for you.
Retirement. We're here for this. We're making great things happen. And then you have, again, a guy named fucking Fink. What is the CEO named Evil? Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you think these corporations care about diversity, equality, inclusion, all of these different things. If you think they actually care about that, they're pulling the wool over your eyes. All they care about is the bottom line. And if they are in bed with the United Nations, with the World Economic Forum, with all these different governments across the world, this all goes according to the plan that they all want. And corporations are, you know, basically running government. And that's what the World Economic Forum wants. So this is all going that direction. And you look at the World Economic Forum's game plan and you've got diversity, equality, inclusion, all these different things in there that you need to train people to get used to before you can implement that. Because if they try to implement that shit right now, people would have a fit all over the world.
Well, you don't hear Larry Fink talking about going into the inner cities and educating kids and families and helping them lift themselves up, right? It's forcing diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? And equity is not equality. Equity is like, you know, hey, we're going to give you some shit just fucking because you're this fucking this minority class or whatever it is. It's not about any equality, you know? And so, we're on a train. We're on a fucking train wreck that's happening.
Yeah. And one thing with the new Twitter CEO too, she actually does have ties. I don't know. I haven't gone deep enough to find out exactly what it is, but she has ties with the World Economic Forum. She's actually got I looked at the page that is on the World Economic Forum website. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know. But I don't think it's the left or I don't think it's the right wing think tank that everyone thinks it is.
I don't think she's the CEO of Twitter yet. That hasn't she was what who Elon threw out there.
Okay.
She hasn't taken over. No. And I don't think Elon is, if one thing, and you know, and Elon has ties into the government, right? Because a bunch of the shit he does goes in the government. So,
yeah.
But at the same time, that dude so far appears like he's about as much free speech as he can get, you know, and that's one of his things. I mean, he's trying to figure out ways to make money with Twitter. I think he got a bum deal when he bought it, but he's trying to figure out ways to make it. Last thing he needs to do is have, because if she comes in and starts getting some doing the woke shit and all the censorship shit again, like they were doing over there. And you do run into some of that still on Twitter, but he hasn't cleared out everybody that's there. You still have some of that old administration, some of the people in there doing shit. But over and over again, it's getting a little bit, it's getting more and more or less and less censorship over there. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I like that stuff on there because it allows for conversation back and forth. So that's what I want. But all these people on the left that don't want to have, they don't want to be challenged by their thoughts or anything because you really don't, a lot of them don't have the answer. And I'm not talking people on the left. I'm talking the politicians, the media personalities, the people that make a bunch of noise about this stuff. They don't want to have their ideas challenged. So they all just kind of took their football and went home. And that's why you're seeing this over here. So I like it when that stuff comes up. And I like the fact that when you read through the comments now, it's not a bunch of bots and it's not a bunch of you know, just BS, one-sided BS. There is actually there's more right-wing comments than there ever was.
And it's great because you have the community notes now, right?
Yeah,
where, exactly. And I don't know how I got the algorithm picked me to like, hey, do you want to take part in the community notes? And the way the community notes work is because like Biden will get notes put on his shit that clarify stuff he says or whoever says something that sounds stupid, right? And so the way the community notes work is people will go in there and they'll put like a post that you can't see unless you're one of the community notes people. And what it tells you, it'll say, this is what the reality of that situation is. And here's some links. And then everybody goes in there, not everybody, but whoever's a community notes person can go in there and vote that they think that was a good comment and that they think it's true and all accurate and all that. And then if there's if a note gets enough votes, then you'll see it underneath like some comment that's like Biden made that ended up being some stupid shit that he tried to say. You know, like he was saying a bunch of shit, anti-gun shit yesterday. And so he was getting lit up in there about it with the community notes. But it's great because it when someone throws some crazy shit out there, it gives you the ability to on the community notes to see, oh, this is what the whole situation is.
Yeah. Yeah. On that right there, if I could zoom this in, maybe I can. This is something that I shared from Jack Posobiec or whatever his name is about this Mexican cartel member. I'm not going to play the audio of this, but it was a Mexican cartel member. That
playing the audio of it.
He had a javelin. And then readers added context down here. He said, pictured is an AT-4, not a javelin. There's no evidence that the AT-4 in the video was from any shipment to Ukraine. So when you see this, you go, oh, shit, that's bullshit, right? But when they add context, it's like, okay, that makes sense now. And what's cool about this is they do it for I've seen them do it to politicians. I've seen them do it to left-wing personalities, right-wing personalities. So it's all across the board. If somebody is being full of shit, they're good. You know, it gives people the opportunity to call them out for being full of shit. That's what we've been missing for so long in all of social media.
The difference is because on the other on social media before, right, you had a fact checker that had a biased angle that would go in there. And because again, I had a post on Facebook that made Snopes. Right. And the guy put a bunch of shit in there. And it's like, dude, I was there. What you're saying is completely wrong. But because they're the fact checking resource, then it's like, oh, no, I'm they're the end all be all. This is a bunch of people that go in there and look at something and say, yeah, here you've provided. And when you comment on one of the notes on the community notes, it gives you like 10 different things on why you think that was a good note or why you think it was a bad note. Right. Does it have is it a quality source of information? So like if I see something that has an MSNBC or Fox News as the reference to whatever they're talking about, I'm like, no, that's not a good source of information. That's a biased source of information. Right. But then it's like, is it short? Does it not get is it non-opinionated? They're just stating facts and all that. It's a great way to fact check where you have a mob of people who actually go in and look up the information. And there's a consensus like that's a good note to have to provide context to whatever that fuckwit was saying.
Yeah. And it's hard to talk crap about that, right? Because it is a sort of a consensus rather than a a fact-checking organization that's funded by Democrats or Republicans or the donors for those parties and have a complete bias, which is 90% of the fact-checkers out there all have a massive bias. And that is towards the establishment, basically.
Well, and you look at it this way, how many people like that watch our show, watch other shows like this? Like, we know a lot of facts about shit, but whenever someone, when a fact checker throws it out there, like, that's not true. It gives the ability for that to happen. Like, you're getting down to what, and people will pull up the original text of something, right? They'll find the original document and throw it in there. Like, hey, here's the original document. This is what he's talking about. And that's either good or bad or what, you know, true or not true. Yeah, I really like the way Elon's going with Twitter so far as social media goes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not, I hope it doesn't anyway. It's not going to please everyone on the right or the left. I hope it doesn't, because that's what we need. Something that just, everybody has got something to bitch about with it. You know, something that they don't like about it. There's too much of this or too much of that, because that means there's a good, you know, good interaction going on, I think, rather than one side having all the power. Or, you know, right now, like I said, there's a lot of people on the right that are in there because they're still there. Basically, it's not like they joined because of it. They're just still there. Everyone on the left took off to their Mastodon or whatever and left that the black hole.
It's funny in the notes, like you'll have when a conservative says something, you'll have a bunch of people from the left get in there. And they'll talk about to post notes on like what they think should be added to that post, the context. And it's like, it's usually some like very feelings, woke oriented kind of shit. And then what they'll say is, oh, well, there's no note needed on. Like, so if Biden says something and someone comes up and shows them that there's wrong, a bunch of people from the left will come there. There's no note needed for this. You know, Biden is giving his opinion. And it's like, hey, dude, he's the president of the United States. His opinion is policy. Like, that's important shit that you need to rein in, right? You know, whether it's gun amendment shit, whatever it is, Second Amendment shit, you know, any of that stuff. And so, yeah, I think it's pretty interesting.
He lies more than anybody, man. And I think people need that for when a president goes out there and talks about how he reduced the debt. There needs to be some context right there, because that in itself is not a lie, because it did happen. But there needs to be some context there about how the debt was going to go down anyway, things like that. So he'll, and all presidents do it, not just him, but take credit for every little thing that they can and pass the buck on everything else. So I think just for those low information type people that don't do enough research into it, they need to know that when he says, so they don't use it as a talking point. Oh, Biden reduced the debt. No, he didn't. And then so if they had that context there, I think people won't go out themselves and do that research. So if you put it in front of their face, you know, it's like I talked about how people won't leave YouTube because they're trained, or they won't leave Facebook because they're trained. Same thing with when they see a piece of news on, you know, MSN or CNN or whatever, that becomes automatically fact without even going a step further. That just becomes fact. So I do like it. I mean, I think it's cool. And if it is something like I just showed right there, that's something that I'd like to be up in arms about, or something that I would be up in arms about, but I find out it's not what somebody was saying, then I'm going to call them out on their BS too. So
and the other side of it is that when you go in there on Twitter right now, if you have a question, you can like, and someone posts something, you could ask, you know, ask a question like, hey, well, what do you mean by that or that? People will give you additional information. So like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying with that. Like, you can have conversations on there, mm-hmm. right? Because before, what happened? If you question the narrative, they shut you down.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't question this. I mean, think about it. What do they have out there like on Twitter, or not Twitter, but like Facebook and some other places, like, and it was getting pushed out by the Stanford University, that project up there that was all in the censorship, where they said, even if it's truthful information, if the information is true, it can still harm the narrative, basically. So you should suppress that.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where you weren't even allowed to ask questions about it.
Yeah. And that's the way things go. So what's next? Now that COVID is out of the way and the vaccine, they've got everybody just basically brainwashed on the vaccine. I guarantee you the next presidential election, that's when we're going to see the next round of you can't talk about this or you can't talk about that, because that is going to be I think that potentially could be the catalyst for a whole lot of shit going down. I think Kenzie he's in my survivalist prepper group, the survivalist prepper community, which is a cool community if anybody wants to join. But he was talking about things that could cause an SHTF situation. And he listed basically everything under the sun. But he was talking about the next presidential election. If one side wins or the other side wins, it's going to it could potentially cause massive crap, because if the same election questions are out there this time as were last time, and they're going to be, nothing has changed. That's going to get a lot of people pissed off. Trump by himself is going to get a lot of people pissed off. And so I don't know, man. I think it does have the possibility to kick things drive even worse than they are now.
I mean, what do you think the odds are that Trump isn't indicted and arrested, like to the point where they won't trying to make him so he's not even allowed to run? What do you think that'll kick off? Because they're trying.
Yeah,
we know like that's happening.
I think they're trying to just slander him so much. And I don't know whether he did it or not. I don't know any of that stuff. So I'm not defending or one side or the other with him. But I think they're trying to sully his name so much that if he does win the primary or whatever, that he's going to be easy to beat. So that it's almost like they want to bring him down so much and then get him in there so they can beat him because people hate him so much.
No, I think they're trying to get him so he can't even run. I think that's where they're trying to head with it, so he can't even run. And then, you know, like they'll try to, you know, they'll ramp up their impeachment shit again if Democrats get back in there. And I would even put it past half the Republicans to try to impeach that dude. I mean, look at what happened. Yeah. He was going to pardon Julian Assange, right? He was going to pardon Edward Snowden, right? And you had Marco Rubio, Lindsey Graham, and all them come to him and say, hey, if you do that, we're going to make sure that that last impeachment they were trying on, that you get impeached in the Senate. And you get bounced, right? That was the fucking Republican Gestapo.
Yeah.
Right. So I think they're trying to keep the dude from not even being able to run, you know, and push, you know, like a DeSantis or something in there who's a lot more, you know,
pro establishment,
goblin on the cock of the establishment.
Yeah. Yeah. Tiger said in the chat here, Trump irritates the shit out of me, but he did a good job. That's the way I am with him too. I cannot listen to him talk. I, you know, for longer than 30 seconds anymore, because he just drives me. It makes me want to break my TV. Same with Biden. Same with Obama. A lot of these people. But some of the things he did while he was in there, some of it was bad too. But he did do some good things. But he is such a blowhard and he's so hard to like that it drives me crazy.
You know, you look at it, man. And again, you know, I've made no qualms about, like, I don't care for Trump. Right. And at the same time, and it's not like I like Biden, that dude's a bigger fuckwit. But at the same time, if you look at Trump going into 2020, at the end of 2019, record low unemployment, like 50 something year record low employment, the economy was doing good, doing well. Gas prices were doing well. Like, shit was going pretty well. Again, it goes back to when we talk about the timeline of COVID and my long-term thing that we couldn't say on YouTube. If people want to say, oh, the Chinese had a hand in it. Yeah. Well, I think the establishment had a hand in it. Right. From both sides of the house. So, what did they have to gain by it? Get Trump out of office. Cause you know what? Trump did do a shitty, I believe he did a shitty job with the pandemic. You know, with COVID.
The vaccine is good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, he's responsible for getting the vaccine out, Operation Warp Speed and all that shit. But it was the overall response to it. They had plans in place how to deal with it. They didn't fucking follow them. Right. Yeah. And that's when you need that uniter. The problem is we don't have anybody in the whole running that I have any faith would be able to do that. Like, who would be a good president right now? I know some people like RFK, some people like Vivek Ramaswamy. I can't pronounce his name. Tulsi Gabbard, you know, all that. But there's nobody running that's really worth a shit.
Yeah, yeah. We're screwed because, like you had said earlier, it's they don't care about what we did. We are secondary to what they want. So you know, it's worthless. It's worthless. Even I hate to put it that way, but it's worthless to even think that things could possibly change because I don't know.
Who's more crazy? Who who's more crazy? I mean, if you think about with Trump, should the expectation be that he's going to get in there and act like he's, you know, like, oh, hey, guys, let's all get along now? I mean, this is a guy who made his living, you know, being a playboy in New York and then firing people on the Celebrity Apprentice show. Yeah, I mean, that was his thing, right?
Being a boy,
you're fired. Yeah. Yeah, that was his thing. So, should we expect any different? I don't know. Maybe not.
No, I just know one way or the other. If it's more Democrat control, mm-hmm. We're going even further down the slope. I don't know what's next after, maybe it is actual pedophiles, which they're going to try to normalize at this point.
They already are.
Right now it's not even trans anymore. It's the trans going after the kids. They already are
trying to normalize pedophiles. You can't say, don't call that pedophile a fucking pedophile because you might hurt that pedophile's feelings. Now it's minor attracted.
Oh, that's person, right. Yeah.
Right. You're a map. Yeah. No, you're a dude who should be at the fucking bottom of the fucking Mariana Trench holding a brick.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to say the least with the things coming up. There might be so much crap going on. We're going to have to do a couple shows a week again because just the right around the election, man. Especially this one. The last one was big. I think this one's going to be big. It seems like with every election, even though we have less and less say in the outcome of it, the repercussions and the damages and the severeness or the, I don't know what word I'm thinking of here, but the consequences are worse and worse every election we have. And I don't know how many we have left.
Well, think about this too, man. So if running this next election, Biden's not going to come out and campaign again. Like that dude's locked in the basement already. I mean, he, as president, he doesn't even come out. Right. So the Republicans are sitting there trying to, you know, get information, get stuff on Biden, which there's plenty of it out there to get him to be able to not run. So if they do the Democrats' job for him and toss Biden, then you're going to end up having like Gavin Newsom, you know, that loathsome fuck. Right. And so, if Biden runs, though, they have to come up with a distraction because otherwise the news cycle every day is going to be day 120 of no one seeing the president. You know, no one can't President Biden not campaigning. So they're going to have to get the news cycle to do something else. So what's that news cycle? What's the thing that they're going to do or that they're going to take advantage of to keep everybody distracted to make them think that Biden's doing a good job when he's actually not campaigning? Some international incident. I don't know. He needs to blow up a Nord Stream pipeline again or whatever the fuck's going on. And they ever talked about that. Maybe it's China. I don't know. But how can Biden run by never talking? You know, like that guy's not going to be able to debate. Can you see that fucking dickhead on a debate stage? Dude, yeah. He shouldn't get a head injury just trying to walk to the fucking podium.
Yeah.
Right. So like what's coming that from a preparedness mindset, what's coming down the pike to keep us distracted from the fucked up election that's going to happen in 24.
Well, if you look at the things that are going on with the transgender crap right now, that is, I guarantee you, there's the reason that is in every single freaking headline is because that's where they want people's attention focused on. They didn't want them focused on the debt and those talks, even though that was a bunch of gaslighting and BS anyway. But they don't want people focusing on what they're doing. Focus on this crap out there. You go fight about this shit over here and let us do what we're doing over here. So they'll figure something out.
Maybe it's a massive mass shooting, right? That they can put the Second Amendment on trial even more. To rally all these people to come out and vote. Hey, we got to keep our kids safe by, you know, having this. Because you brought that to mind when you said transgender, since they like the last couple of mass shootings were big mass shootings were transgender, non-binary people that weren't getting the mental health that they need. Instead, they're getting gender affirming care. Like, hey, like go chop your dick off and then deal with your shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, they will do something, whether it's that or maybe. Some BLM type thing again that gets people raging for a couple weeks and takes up all the news cycle for a couple weeks, whether it's China, Taiwan. I mean, who knows? Who knows what it could be? But I guarantee you they're going to figure out something that just keeps people so, can you believe this? Can you believe that? And meanwhile, Biden's, you know, bouncing his head off the the corner of the wall because he can't figure out where the door is down in his basement. So, and nobody's going to care.
Right.
So, all right, man, I think we're about an hour and a half now. So we're going to get out of here tonight. Good show. Long show. Talked about quite a bit of stuff tonight. Everyone in the chat, everyone that came over to, or everyone that started over here on Rumble, there was quite a few of you to begin with. I think probably five or so came over from YouTube, but appreciate you all joining in over here. Make sure you are subscribed. Make sure and hit the notification, the thing in there, and get your notifications for whenever we go live. If you press immediate for us, we don't upload videos every single day, so you're not going to get hammered in your email. You'll just get one email the morning I schedule this show that lets you know that we've got a live stream scheduled. Also, I do have that Survivalist Prepper community that I am posting in there every time I do a video over at Survivalist Prepper and every time we do a video here. So that's a good way to get notified as well when we're doing our live shows. But I appreciate y'all joining in tonight. I think this might have been the most interactive I've seen the chat over here on Rumble. So that's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So with that, do you have anything else before we get out of here tonight, Brian? Before we...
No, everybody, I hope everybody has a good week, man. Take care, be safe. Keep an eye on what's happening out there. Follow me over. If you go over to Twitter, follow me at Mind for Survival on Twitter. The number 4, Mind for Survival.
Mind for Survival. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, everyone, I appreciate everyone listening to the podcast. Appreciate it. Until next time, take care and prepare. We'll talk to you all later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Survival Preppers. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us on YouTube for our weekly live shows. For more information or to connect with Duff and Dale, visit thesurvivalpreppers.com or thebugoutlocation.com for members-only content and prepping courses. See everyone next time.